Hi, I'm Diana Von Glahn, the Faithful Traveler, and you're listening to the Catholic Vitamins podcast with my friends, Deacon Tom and Dee, where each week you can nourish your faith from A to Z.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hello, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
It is Catholic Vitamin A. Holy Moses.
Starting again.
Did you have time to do some research? How many times have we been through the alphabet?
I did look. I actually did. This is our 12th time to start around the alphabet.
My goodness gracious. So we've been A through Z 11 times?
Uh-huh. Since 2009.
My goodness.
The fall of 2009.
There you go. So 6.5 years, maybe a little bit more, we've been doing Catholic Vitamins. And we are ready to sail into some new faith-strengthening topics or vitamins. This one, D, is an unusual one.
I can't even pronounce it. That's how unusual it
is. All right. So this word is 6 letters long. It begins with A and it ends with M. Nobody got it. Nobody was able to guess what this vitamin was.
But Greg Gorman did come in and say he thought it could be anthem.
That's a nice word. I mean, you know, a faith anthem or something like
that. Starts with A and ends with M.
Is it got 6 letters?
Yep.
All right. Well, the word is actually aditum. Aditum. A-D-Y-T-U-M. It comes from the Greek, although there's a word in Latin that's sort of related to it as well, and it means an innermost sanctuary, the most sacred place that you can visit. And I propose that that is with the Lord God inside of you. And in a little while, I'll do a short reflection about how you can recognize when you've entered the aditum inside of you. A-D-Y-T-U-M, aditum. D, I again, I'll...
Turn your phone off,
I will, please. I will. All right, D, how many shows have we been through?
Well, this is 311.
My goodness, we have 310 shows under our belt, and we are really, really blessed this show to be starting what I believe is going to be a two-part show. Dick Jenkins, who is the general manager of Immaculate Heart Radio and the founder of K-Love Radio in his earlier days as a Protestant and as a Baptist, he's going to be joining us for our special interview this time.
Nice to hear his story.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the first part is going to be all his radio journey and experience, which took him all over the world a lot, traveling all over. And he'll talk about that. And
most of our listeners know that we've started Catholic radio here in our town. You did. I didn't have much to do with it, but you and three other dedicated board members brought it in. And we are carrying the Immaculate Heart radio feed.
We are. That network is a great network. I know there are other good Catholic networks around the country. As we've traveled, we've listened to some of them, and they have some good programming. But we're particularly pleased and proud and thanking God for the gift of Immaculate Heart Radio in our North Central community. And I'm looking forward to bringing our guests to you. Now, I think sometimes my voice or our topics convey that I'm a little bit old. I've tried interviewing some of these young folks that we have on the show, and sometimes you can tell that they're going, well, I don't know where he's coming from or whatever. But
so our Faith Travelers group met last week.
They did.
And it was just a couple days after your birthday, and so we had to make a fuss over your birthday at Faith Travelers, and they gave you this card. Everybody signed it.
Well, it has a young, almost snarky-looking young girl about 9 years of age.
Yeah, with two little pigtails or ponytails.
Two pigtails. And the front of the card says, "Let me spell it out for you." And you open it up, and there's a little slider inside. And I'm going to play this for our listeners. Here goes the card that all of these beloved faith travelers gave to me.
Your word is ancient.
Ancient. What's the definition?
Older than dirt. Elderly. Advanced in years.
Can you use it in a sentence?
The person holding this card is ancient.
Oh, ancient. A-N-C-I-E-N-T. Ancient.
That's correct.
Well, thanks for... Thanks very much, Faith Travelers.
Oh, it makes me laugh every time.
I'm cutting you all out of the will. I hope your listeners could hear that.
Oh.
And it made everybody laugh a lot when I played that at our dinner last week. So, yes, Deacon Tom is slightly over the hill.
I never did find out who picked that card. That's
I don't know. I've never seen one like that before. And, of course, I had to be holding the card when I played
of
the
course,
slider.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
It's funny.
All right. Well, enough of the have we covered prattle? Do we have anything else maybe in the first segment?
I think we need to take a break so I can stop laughing.
We'll be back. Young Tom and Dee are back. We had trouble settling Dee down. She was laughing even after I turned off our microphone. So
I'm composed now.
Are you?
Yes.
A little bit of what we are doing and have been doing. I went to Winslow, Arizona to visit spiritual director priest.
That's about 90 miles north of us, in case nobody knows that.
And he is a spiritual director, and I used him for confession. Now, the reasoning behind this was that we had done Divine Mercy Sunday. I think we talked about that on our last show. And I wanted to make sure that I got the opportunity for the full plenary indulgence, the complete removal of any punishment due to sin that remains. And to the best of my ability, I tried to comply with all of the conditions that the church spells out for that, which include Mass and Communion, praying for the intentions of the Holy Father, and then doing Divine Mercy actions on Divine Mercy Sunday, which we did. And then you have up to 20 days to go to confession. The church says about 20 days. And so I accomplished that action. And thinking of our word additum for today, one of the areas of additum for me personally is in adoration. And that Divine Mercy Sunday work that we did for an hour between 2:30 and 3:30 was so beautiful, so touching. I've had a lot of comments on that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've heard a lot of favorable comments on doing that.
All right. Do we have anything else that we want to do in this segment before we move on?
You came back from Winslow that evening, and we turned around right away and went out and had a really nice dinner with our good friends, Jim and Candy, and that was sort of a belated celebration of your birthday also.
We had Thai food, didn't we?
We did.
You had drunken noodles. I've never seen you drink so much at all. You had drunken noodles.
That sounds kind of terrible, but they're spicy noodles. It's good.
Very, very good. And I had sort of a house specialty, fried rice, which has...
Which we sort of combined.
Chicken
our two
and
dishes.
Beef and shrimp. And
boy, it was loaded.
It really, really was very
good. It wasn't until you brought the leftovers home that I realized how much meat was in it.
Yeah, very good. Well, here we are prattling away about drunken noodles on a Catholic Vitamin show.
You had a note down here that our pastor's going away next week?
Yes, he is taking a few days off. They encourage him to take something like 30 days a year, and I don't think he probably gets 5 or 8 days. He just doesn't get very far from the parish. But I think he's going to go down to Tucson and a few other places and spend some time with some priest friends.
Well, at least he does take some time off once in a while. I remember our previous pastor, who was much older, mm-hmm. he never took any time off.
I know. I remember the story of a young priest talking to an older priest one time, and the younger priest was sort of bragging. He said, "Father, I want you to know I never take any time off from our parish." And the older priest said, "How sad for you and how sad for your parishioners." All right, we will be back. Tom and Dee are back. Dee, it's gotten a little bit cold here. A little front has come through.
Oh, I know. It's been like nasty, rainy, cold,
yeah,
chilly.
It has. Here in north central Arizona, where we're used to warmer temperatures, every time it turns a little bit cool, we start shivering or putting on another layer.
Yeah, but our friends and relatives back east, you saw some pictures the last couple days.
I did.
They got a snow dump again.
Hey, before we end the show, Dee, just remind me to say something about Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler, please.
I'll try to.
Help me, yes, I know.
Look at me. You know, you're not supposed to ask me to remind you anything because I don't have a memory any longer than yours.
Well, I'd like to do a sort of a personal reflection on the vitamin for today, aditum. As I said earlier, it's a word which connotes an innermost sanctuary. And my intent is that we seek this sanctuary deep inside of us. That's what this Catholic vitamin is about. And this experience can happen deep inside of you, but that can be in your room, in your morning prayer, or at the church for adoration. I want to start with a few words, Dee, about recently deceased Mother Angelica of EWTN. You know how much we've heard about her in recent days,
right,
since her passing on Easter. If our listeners are mildly connected with things Catholic and they're on the web, it's likely that they have heard or read some about Mother Angelica. Raymond DeRoyo's life story of Mother Angelica tells how profoundly moved she was by her deep faith in Jesus. And she loved spending time with Jesus in adoration. And it became clear to me from that book how she just spoke with Jesus as if he was as real as you sitting next to me here, Dee, are real. And, of course, he is a real and intimate person in her life and in our lives. And I believe Padre Pio was like this. Many other great saints, they experienced intimacy and a very close relationship with the Lord Jesus, perhaps with his mother as well. I've had a few times when I've experienced this aditum in my life, sometimes during my visits with Jesus at adoration. They've been very personal and real, and in recent years I recall when I first heard the mention of Catholic radio as a thing to consider in our community. It wasn't me that brought it up, even though I've been a great fan of Catholic radio. It was our friend and parishioner, Pete, and he mentioned it, and it just immediately touched something deep inside of me, and I knew that I was experiencing God's direction and communication to move ahead with the building process. And along the way, Jesus would let me, let us experience some of the beautiful little gifts that come from being in union with him. A man we never met, a well-to-do gentleman whom I discovered and who had a passion for Catholic radio. I approached him by email a few times about donating to our project. And after some months, I received an email from him. Do you remember this, Dee?
I do.
He was in Rome at the time, and I have no idea why he was moved while he was in Rome, but he sent an email saying that he had decided to donate $10,000 to our Catholic radio project. What was interesting, or nearly miraculous about this, was that it happened maybe 5 or 10 minutes after I had finished fairly intense morning prayer, entering into this addendum inside of me, where I hope and believe God is present. And as I said, I've experienced addendum during times of adoration or in times of praise and worship at Franciscan University in Ohio. The 10 years that I've gone there has helped me to grow in terms of my faith practice and faith witness. And while there, I've participated in the Life in the Spirit mini seminars they've offered each year. God is so good. Addendum, our vitamin for, this show, and inviting you to enter into the sanctuary, whether that's at your parish or the sanctuary in your heart and soul, and speak with Jesus, who makes it holy ground where you encounter him there, your own experience of addendum. What do you think, Dee? Would that be a reasonable explanation of the word addendum?
Well, I think so.
All right.
Since I'd never heard of it before at all.
All right. Well, we'll be back and bring up our guest.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Today on Catholic Vitamins, I'm so pleased and we're really honored to be on the phone with Dick Jenkins. Dick is someone new in the work that I've been doing to get Catholic radio started, but he has a large and long reputation in Catholic radio. We'll get into that in a few moments. Dick is the general manager for the Immaculate Heart Radio Network, and listeners to Catholic Vitamins will have heard us talking about Immaculate Heart Radio and know that we started a radio station here in our community. And again, we'll get into all of that, but I want to start by saying what an honor it is and a joy to welcome Dick Jenkins. Dick, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you very much, and it's an honor to be able to go on and talk about things that are really important. And, of course, the whole journey I've been on has been an important and significant time for me in that we've been able to affect many, many Catholics and Christians through radio.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dick, most often when I do an interview such as this, I like to find out where someone came from, what their start was like. See, if you could talk about maybe your family of origin and your early faith walk, that'd probably be a good place to get us started.
I grew up in Portland, Oregon, a little community outside of Portland called Tigard, Oregon, and my early upbringing was Protestant. My dad was not very He believed in God, but he was not very religious. But my mom kind of dragged me to church all the way till I was about 16 years old. So I got a good foundation in Bible study and understanding who Jesus was. And I thank my mom for that. Rest in peace. She's in heaven now. But it was neat growing up in Tigard, Oregon, in that Portland hadn't become a big city yet, and the suburbs were even more kind of laid back. So it was a good place to grow up. There was trees and woods play in next to the house I grew up in, and I just had a normal childhood with a playing football on our front lawn and playing baseball and all that kind of thing.
All right. And would there have been any denominational attachment in the Christian upbringing that you had?
Well, yes. And it was, I grew up in, my dad was Southern Baptist and my mom was Seventh-day Adventist. So I've run the gamut when I was growing up.
All right, all right. And siblings? Did you have any other family members?
Yeah, I had one brother. He was 10 years older than I was, and great brother. And he's also deceased at this time. Died a few years ago.
Okay.
But my brother being 10 years older, you think about this, by the time I was six, he was 16. So we really didn't kind of circle in the same friends, but he was he watched over me pretty well.
So when you reached your teens, mid-teens or later, did you have any strengthening of your faith walk, or did you have any sort of falling out with the faith practice?
Yeah, I really walked away from church. I refused to go to church anymore, and as a teenager, and you're trying to rebel, and you're trying to kind of set your own identity and so on, and I was rebelling, and there was a period of time for about probably 16 till I was 21 where I didn't attend church. I believe somebody would say, "Do you believe in God?" Oh, yeah, there's a God. But I wasn't active in any church activity at all.
So I began to find out, as we did some work together a year ago, I began to find out that you have a long history in radio. Did you go off to study that, like in college, or did you get a job in radio to get you started? How did this come about?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It all I can remember the day my journey towards radio started. We were in a class on careers, and it was career day, and they had different speakers come, a fireman, a policeman, a construction worker, so on. And one of the people who came and spoke to us in class was a disc jockey from the most popular station in our area. Kissin' Radio, in fact, in Portland, Oregon, a guy named Tom Michaels, and he made a wonderful presentation on what it's like to be a radio announcer, and right then and there, sitting in my seat in my junior year in high school, I said, I'm going to pursue that. That's what I want to be when I grow up. And as it turned out, later that spring, the local public station had a half-hour music and high school news show, and I auditioned for it, and I was terrible, absolutely terrible. But the general manager of the station, I think her name was Patricia Vries, was very, very encouraging and said, I think there's a spark in there. I think I can help train you. So if you're willing to be coached for a month or so, we'll see if we can get you on the air in the show in this slot. And that's what started me in radio. And I worked there for about a year and part-time. And then when I graduated my senior year, I went to work for the number two rock station in Portland, Oregon, playing rock and roll. And then from there, my career in radio, I went to a couple other stations, moved to Seattle. While I was in Seattle, I met my future wife, got married, started. This is kind of an interesting story because this is how I came to a real understanding of Christ. It's okay to go ahead and
absolutely
spend a little time with this?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got married, and I began to kind of reflect on what role God was playing in my life, and it was zero. And I said, you know what, I've got to settle this issue once and for all. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the yellow pages of the phone book, and I'm going to talk to, you know, starting A's, Assembly of God, B's for Baptist, C's for Church of Christ. So I went out through the yellow pages, and I would call a different pastor of a congregation every week and talk to them about God. Do you really believe there's a God? Why? Why? Why do you believe that? And interesting conversations. And when I got up to the S's for Southern Baptist, a young Southern Baptist preacher said, why don't we have lunch together? And he was young, and he knew of me on the radio in the Seattle area at that time. So I said, okay, all right, we'll go to lunch. So we went to lunch, and he really narrowed the focus down to, it's all about Jesus. Either he's the Son of God or he isn't. And I said, well, you know, it was reported he was crucified, but, you know, that could be just legend, and maybe somebody came and stole the body. And he said, Dick, did you know that Caesar put a seal on the tomb, and the guards on duty, because that seal was broken, they would have been put to death? And I can remember it was like somebody throwing a bucket of ice water on me. I immediately got chills, realized that Jesus did rise from the dead. That could be the only explanation that would make sense. And that led to my later Protestant baptism, and also my leaving radio. And I just couldn't be on the radio playing songs that were like Sympathy for the Devil, or If It Feels Good, Do It, or Highway to Hell, or whatever. You know, that wasn't me. Now, the new me. And I resigned from radio and took a job as a lobbyist for the pleasure boating industry and commercial fishing industry. And I did that for about, I think, 11, 12 years. And then after that, I heard about a radio station from a friend of mine who was leaving it, who had started a Christian music station in Santa Rosa, California. And he was leaving, and the station was struggling bad. And he said, would you consider coming to work here? And I did a crazy thing. I left a very high paying job to go to work there. And that first station, one station, eventually became the K-Love radio network, and when I left, I think there were about 700 signals, or way above that today, and I was there 18 years and thoroughly enjoyed it, and then I retired in 2008 and did international consulting. All during that period, too, I had substituted as a pastor twice. Once in a Southern Baptist congregation and once in an Assemblies of God combination. And I was very, very devout in my faith, and obviously could see God working in the growth of the K-Love network. But when I retired, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do international consulting. So for about 18 months, I consulted Christian radio stations in Australia and New Zealand and in France and in England. And then most notably, I was on a formation group, and I'm still on the board of directors today, which founded Spirit Radio now in Ireland. And in Ireland, the government is scared to death of Catholic-Protestant violence and demonstrations. And they had never granted a Christian station nationwide, never granted any high power licenses because they were afraid of violence. And we made a proposal to the government along with several other groups. But our proposal was unique in that half the board was made up of Catholics and half the board was made up of Christians. And we were going to go on the air, play Christian music, do some news and talk. But all the talk would be focused on Jesus, because that's the one thing Catholics and Christians can agree upon. We have absolutely no differences with the Protestant, many of the Protestant denominations when it comes to Jesus. Who was he? You know, did he rise from the dead? Did he open the door for us for eternal salvation? All that. So surprisingly, the government liked it, and they granted us one license in Dublin, and then they granted more licenses, and today I think the Spirit Radio in Ireland is up to 15 stations Cork and, you know, it, all around from one end of the island to the other. They have a big, powerful AM station. I think it's running 80,000 watts because they don't have the power limitations on the AM band over there that we do, that overlooks Belfast. And it's just the Republic of Ireland. They're going to allow them to keep doing about three new stations a year for years to come. So the island is pretty well covered in what I would call Catholic, Protestant, Christian music radio. And it's so interesting to listen. And, you know, you'll hear a Catholic priest on there with, we're going to have a youth rally at this parish and so on. He'll be talking about it. And then the next public service announcements from, a Baptist pastor, and the next ones from somebody who works at a pro-life center. And it's a very unusual mix, but it has worked so well. I just got, the board of directors just sent me the minutes for the board meeting this week, and they just passed through 500,000 listeners in the Republic of Ireland to the station each week. So they're having a great impact, playing Christian music and talking a lot about Jesus. So,
Dick, I can tell that something is going to happen. We're sort of at a point where I want to get into your conversion, but I have a few questions about the journey you've been on up till now. I'm going to ask if we can make this a two-part interview, and we'll finish covering all about radio and your work, and then we'll sort of get into conversion and then Immaculate Heart Radio in part two. Will that work for you?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. Two-part. I have the time.
All right. Well, before we say goodbye on this segment, let me just ask now about Spirit Radio, just to take that as an example. Do they allow commercials on that? Are they listener-supported or commercial-supported? How did that work?
It's a very unique system of how radio is supported in Europe. In the Republic of Ireland, yes, they are listener-supported, and they have people who make donations, and they have, I think, three pledge drives a year. But they're also allowed to sell commercials. Mm. And so it's a mix of both, and it takes a mix of both over there because I forget what the fee is. I'm 34 euros a year, 24 euros a year, something like that. You pay the government, and they support the BBC and Radio One, and you know, radio over there. There has really never been non-commercial radio because it's been funded in a large part by the government, and so we had to explain listener support to people. They, you know, listener support, what's that? I thought radio's free. I pay, you know, on my tax bill every year, I pay that fee to the government so they'll support radio. So it's a very unusual system in that. But, yes, they play commercials, and spiritradio.ie is their web address. And you'll hear quite a mix of various programs, and they run some Catholic priests, and they also run some Protestant pastors on there. Again, the restriction is just talk about Jesus.
Sure. Do they do the Mass? Would they allow a Mass on the?
I don't believe they do a Mass. I'm not watching the programming that well. As a board member, I'm watching finances.
Yeah, sure.
Terrible to say, but that's kind of what my role is, to advise them in that area and on pledge drives.
And only because we are still remembering the passing of dearly beloved Mother Angelica, did she have any radio impact over in Ireland or in Europe?
Yes. The government has so many restrictions on Christian broadcasters. I mean, pages and pages and pages of what you can say and can't say. And so for the Christian television channels like EWTN to gain access, they all went on what's called Sky TV. And there's a satellite up over Europe that covers, you know, France, England, Scotland, Ireland. And people are very familiar with EWTN and Mother Angelica and a lot of other preachers and a lot of programs. Catholic organizations are able to buy time there.
Okay. Well, I think what we'd like to do is to say goodbye to Dick Jenkins, a great and interesting guest who has yet to share with us how he has gone from being a K-Love, contemporary Christian music and Baptist pastor to being involved with Immaculate Heart Radio, and we will do that on part two of our interview with Dick Jenkins. And Dick, we thank you for this part of your journey story with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
I look forward to bringing Dick Jenkins back for part two of our interview as we get into his conversion to the Catholic faith and his work with Immaculate Heart Radio. Just a beautiful story, Dee.
Wouldn't it be great if we could get as many Immaculate Heart Radio stations as there are, as he had with K-Love?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, he was on fire for doing that back then, and I know he's on fire for Immaculate Heart Radio now. He's making great improvements and changes in the programming, as we heard, as we will hear in the interview. Well, dear.
We are going to have Marianna with us this time. She let us know that she was suffering a little bit with bronchitis this weekend.
All right. May the Lord grant you quick healing, Marianna, our award-winning journalist from Chicago. And thank you for being faithful to Catholic Vitamins over the years.
It's not stopping us from playing Words with Friends with each other, though.
No. You don't have to be able to speak to do that, right?
Right.
I wonder if our listeners know how much Words with Friends you play. Every once in a while, I have to introduce myself to Dee.
I've got my Kindle up in front of me all the time.
Well, I want to also say a word about next week. Next week, we are really pleased to be able to participate in the national rollout of a new book, The Walls Are Talking, by Abby Johnson, author of the best-selling book Unplanned, who has co-written a book with Kristen Detro, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. The Walls Are Talking, Former Abortion Clinic Workers Tell Their Stories. I'm a third of the way through the book, Dee, and I have to tell you how powerful, how disturbing, how wonderful it is that these abortion workers have come out of Planned Parenthood and abortion centers.
I think you said to me, these are stories you probably don't want to hear, but they are stories that you need to hear.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Well, that will be next weekend, so that will be a part of what we also share. And
I'm reminding you about Diana Bungalon.
Well, yes. I thank you. She does the Faithful Traveler series. She's been on EWTN. She's been to the Holy Land. She leads pilgrimages. She's got videos. She was kind enough to do that little promo for Catholic Vitamins, which we played at the beginning of the show. But she also has been very friendly to us. She gave us some videos so we know about her work. We've watched some of those places that she visited, like on the East Coast, shrines of the East Coast. She went on the pilgrimage with the Holy Father to the Holy Land, and they were able to film a lot of the beautiful places in the Holy Land. Diana Bungalon's site is www.thefaithfultraveler.com, and we invite you to go there and help support her work, which I think is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Well, our next show is not going to be a mystery because we've got part two of...
Right, so it's the same vitamin, part two.
Vitamin A. You're not saying that word.
No, I'm not.
Adidum.
You noticed that.
Adidum, part two. And we are looking forward to sharing Dick Jenkins with our listeners on that. Anything else to do to wrap up?
I don't think I had anything else.
All right. We're not sure whether it'll take us all until next weekend to get the next part of Catholic Vitamins put together. We'll see about that, but we're looking forward to the next show.
I'm still watching iTunes for a new review.
Oh, my goodness.
Would somebody please go and leave us a review?
All right. Nag, nag, nag.
Nag, nag, nag.
All right. Blessings, everyone.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.